Introduction by Ernest L. Martin. There is no doubt that the world has the complete Bible in its midst. One of them is the beloved King James Version published in 1611. There have been many other complete versions produced over the last 100 years. So why do we need a restoring of the original Bible? The fact is, there needs to be a drastic revision within all Bible translations and versions, and that means all Bibles in existence, no matter in what languages they have been published. Truly, there is not a Bible on the market today which follows the arrangement of the earliest manuscripts. One might think that such a state of affairs could not exist, but it does. Publishers have assiduously neglected to produce a complete Bible which positions the books in the correct manuscript order. The outcome has been a mass of Bible translations and versions which are literally topsy-turvy in their design and arrangement. One might at first glance dismiss this infraction as being of minor consequence, but this represents a prime misjudgment when anyone looks seriously at the issue. In truth, the Bible of the manuscripts has all its divisions, parts, and order of books in a symmetrical balance which shows a harmonious story flow from beginning to end. But theologians and publishers have abandoned all attempts to restore this Bible to the general public. Look at it this way. Suppose you bought a novel containing 49 chapters, which introduced the various characters and plot in a progressive way from start to finish. Would it not be difficult to understand what the plot was all about if, in the first 22 chapters, chapter 16 followed immediately after chapter 6, and especially if the chapters were not properly numbered? What then if chapter 22 were placed after chapter 7, chapter 22 before 21, chapter 14 after 21, chapters 12 and 13 followed 14, chapter 18 positioned after 13, chapter 17 followed 8 and 9, chapter 20 after 10, and finally chapter 11 came after chapter 20? This would represent utter confusion. But if one reckons the chapters of our hypothetical novel as being the books of the Old Testament, this is the exact sequence we are settled with in our present Bibles. Let's not stop with the Old Testament. Look at what has happened when we add the 27 New Testament books. Return once more to the illustration of our novel. It means that chapters 23 to 27 follow immediately after chapter 11. Chapters 28 to 34 are found after chapter 44, while chapter 44 itself follows chapter 48. And chapters 35 to 43 are positioned after chapter 27. This is further confusion. Some might say, however, that a comparison of the Bible with a novel is not proper. But this is exactly where the first mistake is made in appreciating the manuscript order of the biblical documents. It will be shown in this book that there is a definite weaving together of a single story theme through the biblical books. And it is a remarkably consistent account, which often amazes people when they see it for the first time. The only reason that such a homogeneous narrative has not been recognized by most people today is because none of our published Bibles has the books of the Old and New Testaments in the original manuscript order. When the proper design is restored, a marvelous and revealing series of connected subjects is seen running through the Bible, which illustrates a compatible and coherent account from beginning to end. This book will reveal some of those amazing relationships which exist between and among the various books. This information may well prove to be an eye-opener to many students of the Bible, facts that have never been realized before. Other matters are considered in the body of this book. It will be seen that the responsibility for canonizing the New Testament fell to the apostles themselves. It was they who had the authority to write and collect the various books of the New Testament, and that two apostles in particular were given the special assignment of formulating the New Testament into a complete and final canon. It will also be shown that the original number of both the Old and New Testament books should be reckoned as 49, not the 66 that we have in our modern Bibles. The present enumeration reflects a numerical pattern which is very foreign to the original. Indeed, some Bibles even have an extra 11 and some 14 books included in their contents. This divergence represents an abandonment of the original number and arrangement of the books. The subject of this book is almost like an adventure story, a story of rediscovery. Yet, in actual fact, looking at the New Testament alone, this book contains not one bit of new evidence regarding the manuscript order of the biblical books that has not been known by New Testament textual scholars for over a century and a half. It is an incredible circumstance that most readers of the Bible are totally ignorant of this evidence, and this includes most preachers, evangelists, priests, and even theologians. Such proof has long been in the hands of scholars who have professionally dealt with the New Testament manuscripts. But even here, not one attempt has been made to provide the English-speaking world with a complete Bible which follows the manuscripts of the Old and New Testaments. It is even rare that the introductions to any English version deem it necessary to inform the general public what the manuscript order really is. And even then, it is usually a brief and inconsequential reference that the reader would hardly think significant. The situation is best described as being a sad state of affairs. Indeed, in comparing the original manuscript arrangement of the Old and New Testament books, our modern versions are in utter shambles. This chaos in respect to the manuscript order of the biblical books needs rectifying. It is time that the world is presented with the real manuscript version of the Bible. Publishing such a work would provide a proper canon of the Bible. The word canon means rule or standard, but it is a fact that no version being published today resembles the canonical Bible of the manuscripts, and this includes the most prestigious modern versions. But why not? Should not Christians want to perpetuate the biblical canon devised by the men who formed it? Yes, this is what the world desperately needs. Such a version, the proper one, is long overdue. In this book, we provide a great deal of internal evidence from the Bible itself, which goes a long way in showing that the early manuscript order of the books is correct. It is time for the guessing game to cease. The erroneous order has been imposed upon the world since the time the Latin Vulgate was produced by Jerome in the 5th century after Christ. This improper arrangement of the biblical books needs to be abandoned. The fact is, the historical and biblical evidence for understanding the canonization is quite replete. Scholars should accept this evidence, especially that which comes from the Bible and the manuscripts, instead of continuing in their guessing game. The scholars particularly need to return to the evidence from the manuscripts themselves. Doing so will reveal significant biblical themes that could not be observed otherwise. There is one theme which is most important. If the books of the Old and New Testaments are restored to their manuscript arrangement, the center books become those which describe the life and times of Jesus Christ. In a word, the manuscripts show that Jesus Christ is featured as the focal point, the fulcrum, of all Scripture, both Old and New Testaments. But this feature can only be observed when we have our Bibles in the manuscript order of the books. In this book, I stress the importance of letting the Bible itself speak about its own origin and arrangement of the biblical books. It is now being recognized in the scholarly world that such internal evidence is a valuable tool in understanding canonical matters. This book provides a considerable amount of information on this internal evidence that is often overlooked by many students of the Scripture. When people allow the Bible itself to be its own interpreter to show the proper doctrinal principles that govern the whole issue of canonization, we find that much of the guessing that scholars have resorted to up to now can be replaced with sensible and reasonable information so that those who love the biblical revelation can rely on it with confidence. In this book, I will place the emphasis of importance on what the Bible itself teaches about its own rules that govern canonization. This procedure is a refreshing approach to research study which will put in people's hands, for the first time in our modern period, the correct tools to decide properly which books belong in the canon, which ones do not, and in what order the biblical books ought to be placed. The research in this book will reveal why the original manuscript order of the divine canon gives the correct arrangement of the real Holy Scriptures that left the hands of the prophets and apostles. What is especially beneficial from this research is the fact that all teachings in the Bible become clearer and plainer when the biblical books are placed back in their correct order. It is truly amazing what the books of the Bible have to tell us when we read the Holy Scriptures in the context that was first intended by those who officially canonized the Bible. It is proper that the world, for the first time in over 1600 years, be given the real Bible of the official and authorized canonizers. Thankfully, as of 1991, some top theological scholars now realize the need to reproduce for the first time in modern history the original Bible. Within the next 5 years, this proper version should be available and in bookstores around the world. It will show what the original Bible was like when it was first canonized. This present book is published simply to give research which can lead the way in showing the need for returning to the proper Bible of the prophets and apostles. The information in this audiobook will demonstrate in the clearest of ways why this modern world needs a restoring of the original Bible.